here tonight. The Hoosiers here in downtown Beaumont. This is the Red Zone Sports Talk Show. We are here live at Hoosiers in Beaumont once again. This is Rob Lipsky along with our special guest tonight, Clay Davis. Hart Jefferson assistant basketball coach is going to join us tonight. He's going to fill in for Mitch Hart, who could not be with us tonight. Clay, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
You need just a little bit of enthusiasm. Enjoy what you're doing. You know, Clay, for those that don't know, Clay's my brother-in-law, and he's basketball coach, assistant basketball coach at Hardin Jefferson, and knows a little bit about basketball. So since Mitch couldn't be here tonight, we thought we'd bring somebody in to talk a little basketball with us and talk about March Madness, which kicks off tonight. And we'll get into that a little while and give our version of the expert picks tonight, who we think is going to go to the Final Four, who we got cutting down the nets, and we'll get into that here in a little while. But we're going to talk a little bit about Lamar, what went on with the women's basketball team this past week, as well as the baseball team and the softball team, kind of give you some updates for them, and basketball season for the guys, as we said, is over. Thank God. It was not a fun season to watch. 3-28, I believe, was their record. And I know that Coach Knight and Coach Carroll had hoped for a better season, but a lot of things didn't go their way. And, you know, I know that Coach Carroll is out on the recruiting road right now. He's up in Hutchinson, Kansas this week at the JUCO tournament trying to find some diamond in the rough. I did talk to Coach Carroll yesterday, and this will probably make some people unhappy, but Marshall Henderson was the guy that Lamar was recruiting last year, and they ended up losing him to Ole Miss. It sure would have been nice to have had Marshall Henderson in Lamar uniform this past year, but from what I understand from reading about him online, he got a little baggage with him on and off the court, but that's never stopped Lamar in the past.
It's a blessing Lamar didn't end up with him.
Well, I don't know how you say that. 3-28, we probably could have used him.
You watch here in the NCAA tournament, that guy's going to come back to buy at Ole Miss at some point.
Well, I hope not, because I think in my bracket, I think I got Ole Miss winning the game. But we'll get into that in a few minutes. Women's basketball season has been extended. They did, in the women's Southland Conference tournament last week, they defeated Stephen F. Austin on Thursday, 69-65. And then they did get knocked out of the tournament as they lost to arch rival, the Sam Houston State Lady Bearcats, on Friday night in the semifinals. They lost 67-61. But their season record of 21-10 and their third-place finish in the conference this year was good enough to get the Lady Cardinals and Coach Tidwell into the Women's Basketball Invitational Tournament. And Lamar will actually host a game. They will be the home team tomorrow night as they take on Presbyterian. Didn't do much research on them. Not even sure what conference they're from. But they will host Presbyterian tomorrow night at Lamar State College, Port Arthur, because the Montaigne Center is being used this week for some grand ball or whatever out at Lamar. But the Lady Cardinals will host Presbyterian tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, at Lamar State College, Port Arthur. Tickets are $10 apiece and $5 for students of Lamar and $5 for students of Lamar State College, Port Arthur. So get out there and help support the Lady Cardinals and Coach Tidwell and his staff as the Lady Cardinals, who are the number 2 seed, look to pick up a postseason win tomorrow night. Women's softball had a little bit of a rough stretch last week. They lost a doubleheader at Louisiana Monroe on Thursday night, 5-1. And in the second game of the doubleheader, they did lose 6-3 as well. They picked up a win on the first game of a doubleheader Saturday in conference as they defeated SFA 7-6 and lost to SFA in the second of the doubleheader 3-1 and then lost in the rubber match Sunday 11-2 to the Lady Jacks. Women's softball is 12-17 on the season and 3-3 in the Southland Conference this year. Is that game score 30-22 up there now?
I did not see.
They were down 9-2, and North Carolina A&T now leads 30-22. Just have kind of picked it up a notch there in the one of the play-in games, the first four, over on True TV tonight. The next up for the women's softball team, they are playing currently at Texas Southern in Houston. We'll try to get you an update on that game if we can get it before we go off the air tonight. And then they play a doubleheader on Saturday at Sam Houston State at 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And then they finish up on Sunday at Sam Houston State at 3 o'clock. Baseball team, find this kind of interesting, Clay, that the baseball team is ranked higher than University of Houston, Texas, Texas A&M. Other than Rice, they are the highest-ranked team in the state of Tech, in the state, in the college baseball polls. They are currently 31st in the country with their 18-3 record. They have yet to begin conference, but they are 18-3. They did pick up. They lost on the 15th, which was Friday night, to UT Pan Am 5-4. And then they defeated Pan Am on Saturday 3-0, and then shut them out again on Sunday 6-0, moving them to 18-3. They've got a busy week ahead of them this week as they play tonight and tomorrow night at Houston Baptist, or at Lamar versus Houston Baptist. Play a weekend set this weekend against McNeese State. They play Friday night at 6:30, Saturday at 2, and Sunday at 1 o'clock. And then the University of Houston Cougars will come to Vincent Beck on Tuesday night, 1 week from tonight at 6:30, to take on Jim Gilligan and the Cardinals. And as we said, 18-3, and they have moved up to 31st in the country in the national poll. Clay, what do you think about what kind of changes do you think you need to, that Lamar needs to look for? We're going to get off kind of off base here and kind of catching you unprepared on this, but you went to a couple of Lamar games this year, saw a couple. What is it from a basketball mind that you see that they need that they didn't have this year?
Well, unfortunately, big part of college basketball is recruiting, and at a small Division I school. It's difficult to recruit as is, and so it's all about finding that diamond in the rough, finding that kid that's got a high ceiling that other coaches have skipped out on or missed out on, taking that chance on that kid and then having them come through. You find two or three guys like that and put together a couple of good seasons with that group, and those groups lead and snowball into other good recruiting classes. So, a lot of times I think it's just luck of the draw, unfortunately, and going into the deep dark corners of your recruiting base, some of the smaller schools, and finding one of those kids that you see a lot of upside in that may not be completely polished and ready right now, but that you think can develop into something nice, and hope that it works out for you.
And I know that you have been around Lamar for, basically since you were in high school. You were had an opportunity to go to Lamar and play at one time and as a walk-on, and you've been around it the last 20 or so years. A lot of times it comes down to having to take a chance on a kid that you don't think may or may not be able to play at that level. And, there's been times that, maybe there's been a player that maybe, a college has gone after that nobody else would take a chance on, not because of their off-the-court personalities or whatever, but it's what they can do on the court. And it's a situation where you got to look at kids that you think can come in and help you, whether it be, everybody wants Lamar to build. They want him to take freshmen, build the program up. But a lot of times when you're starting over like they did this year, you can't take a bunch of freshmen. You got to go get some JUCO kids to mix in with those freshmen, some kids that have played at the college level before instead of just the high school kids.
I think a lot of that comes down to your personal philosophy as a coach and the university's philosophy. What does the university want? What kind of support do you have from the university? If the university wants you to win right now, then that kind of corners you into the type of recruiting you have. If the university says, look, we're going to give you 4 or 5 years to build this thing and give us a solid foundation, then that gives you a lot more flexibility to go out and say, I'm going to get some young kids kids that I can build and develop and turn in, you know, to the type of players that I want them to be, then that's another route. So, again, it comes down to the coach's personal philosophy, and it comes down to the type of support and the level of expectation that the university has and the time frame that they want. Those kind of help push and sway the coach in the directions that he goes as far as recruiting is concerned. So all of the armchair guys, you know, it's real easy to sit back on the outside and say, you know, hey, we need to be doing this or we need to be doing that. We need to be recruiting these guys or those guys. But the bottom line is, you know, that coach knows what his personal philosophy is, and the coach also knows what the university is going to be willing to put up with before they get rid of that coach.
So you mean people like me that sit back and say that, you know, maybe they should recruit this kid and not this kid. And, you know, my philosophy is you got to look – a lot of times you got to take a chance on a kid that may have had – you know, look at what Lamar's done in the past. Last year is an example. They had some really good players in there, but they had a lot of off-the-court issues. You go through, you eliminate those issues or you suspend those issues and, it, you know, throw them under the bus is what happened last year. This was a different crew that he had this year. He wasn't able to throw them underneath the bus because they weren't mentally at the same level that those kids were last year. But, you know, I just wanted to kind of get your opinion on that. And, you know, I think that it's going to be a better year next year for Lamar. They're going to get some other kids in here. I know from speaking around that I've heard that they've got some – they're going to have a good mix this year of some incoming freshmen as well as a couple of JUCO kids. So we'll see. But hopefully it'll work out, and anything's better than 3-28 in my opinion. But I can see them – they're going to be calling for his head if they don't finish close to 500 next year. And unfortunately, you know, they got to give you more time than that, but I think they're going to – you're going to see some issues if they don't finish somewhere close to 500 next year.
Yep, and unfortunately, that's just part of the business. I don't necessarily agree with it. I think when you're at a low major D1, low level D1 like Lamar is, those are not necessarily the types of programs that are going to get turned around completely in, you know, 2 or 3 years. I think it's going to take a long-term fix. It's going to take some time to build a solid foundation, and I think the best thing to start with is continuity there in your coaching staff and your university's philosophy and your coaching's philosophy and recruiting. And that, unfortunately, that just takes time, especially when you're talking about the amount of time that Lamar has been down per se. They've had a few, you know, good years scattered in here and there, but if they want to get back to the Pat Foster days of being in contention for the NCAA tournament, the NIT every year, then that's just going to take some time to get back to that point.
Well, when we come back after break, we're going to break out these brackets. We're going to find out who you got, who I got. No, we're not going to figure out who you got. But we'll be back in about 3 minutes after our sponsors break here, and we'll break down the NCAA bracket for you.
Raquel West, located at 595 Orleans in downtown Beaumont, have been serving clients for 16 years. Her specialty is family law, including divorce, adoption, child support, and custody, as well as criminal law on a state and federal level. Raquel is proud to support her Hawks. Call Raquel at 813-2700 for your free consultation. Golf Cars of Beaumont is a family-owned recreational business dedicated to provide fun for individuals and families at a competitive price. Golf Cars of Beaumont is an exclusive club car dealer. Whether it is for the beach, the lake, the lease, or just for fun, call Golf Cars of Beaumont at 899-4653. Salad and Pumping Equipment has been in operation since 1986 as a distributor of high-quality pumps, seals, parts, and services. If it flows, we can pump it. We have something to offer for just about any pumping application with over 200 years of combined pumping experience. We have the products, people, resources, and facilities to handle your pump needs. If you have a fluid problem, we have the answer. Call Salad and Pumping Equipment at 860-3442. Special thanks to Chris, Stan, and Heath with CDM Advisors at UBS Financial Services for providing the equipment to broadcast the Harden Jefferson games here on the Big Red Insider Radio Network. Roy West Home Loans of AmeriPro Funding wants to be your home loan lender. Whether you are a first-time home buyer or you are buying your second home at the beach or lake, we can help you have an awesome home buying experience. For existing homeowners, be sure to look into saving thousands of dollars by refinancing your house. To begin the process of getting pre-qualified or to refinance your home, give Roy West Home Loans a call at 866-1901 or on the web at roywestloans.com. As a personal financial representative in Beaumont, I know many local families. My knowledge and understanding of the people in this community help me to provide customers with an outstanding level of service. I look forward to helping families like yours protect what is important. Your family, your home, your car, and more. I can also help you prepare a strategy to achieve your financial goals. With four locations in Beaumont to conveniently serve you, call Brent Walters Insurance at 899-2056. For all your business and personal needs in computers, faxes, scanners, shredders, and printers, call Star Graphics at 892-0671. Star Graphics has been serving the Greater Southeast Texas area for 29 years. They are a locally owned business who continually give back to the community. Brands include Konica Minolta, Toshiba, Sharp, and Samsung. Call Star Graphics at 892-0671.
Going to the Final Four, who we got, any upsets in the making. So get out your pencil and paper.
And fill in just the opposite of whatever we say.
Well, you know, I should have let my
Joe
son.
Lunardi is not here tonight. Let's just make that very clear right now.
Well, that's your opinion. He might be sitting right over here. But we're going to start off in the Midwest region. Top left corner of the bracket here. I think it's pretty obvious, regardless of who wins this game between Liberty and North Carolina A&T, I mean, they're going to take on Louisville on Thursday night.
I will say this, and I believe it was Coach K who reiterated this point. If ever there were a year that a 16 was going to beat a 1, this could be the year.
This could be.
I don't think it will happen, but I'm just telling you right now, the difference between the best team in the country this year and the worst team in this bracket is a slimmer margin than it's probably ever been.
Oh, there's much more parity in this year's tournament. There's not a standout team. I mean, you look at every team that's been number one this year, they haven't held it for more than 2 or 3 weeks at a time, and I meant to look that up today. There's probably only been 5 or 6 teams that have been number one this year.
They've rotated it very evenly.
Yeah. But I think we both probably have, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, we both probably have Louisville advancing into the second round.
Yeah, I'm a Patino fan, and I've got Louisville beating whoever they play.
I do as well. Who you got in the Colorado State Missouri game, the 8-9 game?
That was tough for me because Colorado State has been pretty dang good this year, but I'm banking on Mr. Pressey and company getting a little revenge for last year's early exit, despite losing quite a few players. I think Missouri is going to advance to the second round.
I'm going to have to disagree.
Shocker, that didn't take long.
As much as I'm an SEC fan, the SEC.
This is not a football show, by the way.
I understand. The SEC, that's what I was getting at. The SEC has been pretty pretty mediocre this year at best. You know, for them to only get three teams into the NCAA tournament, and the only reason they got three is because Ole Miss won the tournament Sunday. You know, it's – I got a feeling that Missouri's going to make an early exit, obviously very early. I got Oregon in the 5-12 game against Oklahoma State.
I'm going to be real honest. This was very difficult for me to pick. I've got a little personal bias with Oklahoma State, as Marcus Smart and Phil Forte are both freshmen playing lots of minutes for Oklahoma State this year. Both Texas high school basketball players won consecutive 5A state championships at Flower Mound. Marcus Smart's already being considered as a lottery pick, but I think Oregon's a little bit underrated, and I think Oregon is real irritated at getting a 12 seed after winning the Pac-12 championship. And so I've got Oregon advancing there as well.
I got St. Louis next.
Yeah, this is my emotional, sentimental pick of the tournament. I think with the passing
of Rick Majerus.
I think St. Louis comes ready to play, and I think they take down New Mexico State as well. So shockingly, what's that? Three out of four we agree on?
Three out of four works.
There's got to be a difference somewhere.
It's coming. I got Memphis.
Yeah, I've got Memphis as well.
They're going to get the winner of Middle Tennessee and St. Mary's, which is either being played tonight or tomorrow night. I'm not sure.
And if you remember, a couple of years ago, St. Mary's, it was in a regional final there in Houston.
Yep.
Obviously, probably not the same St. Mary's team that it was a couple of years ago. But you know, that's no guarantee. I think a lot of people forget that when Virginia Commonwealth made it to the Final Four a couple years ago, they were in a play-in game that year. And so anybody that's completely writing off these teams from the play-in game, they need to think back to a couple of years ago in Virginia Commonwealth.
I agree. I got a little
– That being here. Said, I'm taking Memphis.
Me as well. I got Michigan State.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what. Come tournament time, there's nobody I respect more than Tom Izzo. And the things that they do well are the things that make you successful in postseason basketball, and that play defense, rebound, and not turn the ball over.
We may differ here. I got Creighton.
No, I got Creighton too. I think that McDermott, the coach, and his son, I think his son's probably one of the best players in the country that people don't talk about or know about. And their story is pretty unique in how he ended up at Creighton and how his son ended up at Creighton. And you know, again, a team that plays in a lesser conference that doesn't get a lot of viewing time. But I think they take down Cincinnati as well.
I'm going to agree that we're going to both have Duke here.
We're both going to take Duke.
I got Duke advancing over Creighton.
Yes, I got Duke beating Creighton as well.
I got Michigan State knocking out Memphis.
Michigan State continues on for me too.
I got St. Louis beating Oregon.
And that's where we'll disagree.
Uh-oh.
Again, I think Oregon's angry. I think they're upset that they're a 12 seed. I think they feel disrespected, and I think they've got something to prove. And I've got them advancing to the Sweet 16. I'm sorry, to the
regional semis
there to take on Louisville.
And I've got Louisville. Yep, we both have Louisville. I got Louisville advancing over St. Louis, which you're going to have them advancing over Oregon, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I got Louisville. I think. In my honest opinion, I've thought Louisville was the best team in the country pretty much from the get-go. Even when Indiana was, highly touted, I think that they, with Peyton Siva and his experience, obviously the coaching Rick Pitino, but I love what they do. I love that they can press you. They can play fast-paced. I love that they can slow it down. I like their interior presence and athleticism and I'm also a biased fan of Coach Pitino. So,
do you love that they can go on a 40-10 run after losing or after trailing by 18 at half or whatever it was against Syracuse on Saturday?
Yeah.
I got Michigan State defeating Duke as much as that. It kills me to say that.
I've got that as well. And the reason is I love Duke, but it scares me anytime a team's success relies on the three-point shot. And unfortunately, even though I think they've got one of the best big men in the country in Plumlee, I really think Duke relies on the three-point shot, and that's why Maryland got them in the ACC tournament as they went, I believe it was 4 of 23 from the three-point line.
Yep.
And when you rely on the three-point shot and live and die by it, I think ultimately in the NCAA tournament you're going to die.
The team that I've got coming out of the Midwest is the Louisville Cardinals.
And as much as it pains me, I just feel like it's a Michigan State kind of season. Izzo and company have kind of slid under the radar, but they're tough, they're physical, and like I said, they play defense, they rebound, and they don't turn it over, and that's a great formula for success come March. So I've got Michigan State advancing to the Final Four over Louisville.
All right. Let's go ahead and knock out the West, then we'll take a commercial break and come back and do the right-hand side of the bracket. I got Gonzaga defeating Southern.
I'm with you on that one.
I got Pittsburgh. I had Wichita State, and I went ahead and went with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Wichita State's interesting because they lost a lot of guys from their team last year that made a run. But I just think Jamie Dixon, they kind of play a lot like Michigan State. Very tough, very physical. They rebound the ball well, and I just think that's a good formula come March. I don't think they're as talented as they have been in the past, but I think they got enough to beat Wichita State.
I got the old Badgers.
Yeah, this may be where Marshall Henderson bites Ole Miss in the rear end.
Yeah, I thought I had Ole Miss winning around, but now that I think about it, I got Wisconsin taking out Ole Miss.
Yeah, Wisconsin does such a great job of controlling the tempo of a game, and I just think their experience is going to be too much for Ole Miss here.
I got Kansas State defeating whoever they're going to play, which is either going to be Boise State or LaSalle.
Yeah, I'm taking Kansas State there. Again, got some experienced guys that have had success in the tournament, and I think they'll be too much for either Boise State or LaSalle in this case.
I got Arizona knocking off Belmont.
This is where my upsets kind of start. I'm taking Belmont over Arizona. I think they're one of these schools that people have overlooked, and I am just not sold on the West Coast teams. I'm just really not.
I'm liking this New Mexico team. You know, it's the Lobos have been highly ranked this year, got into the top 10, I believe, at one time. If not top 10, they were top 12 or 13 for sure. I think they're a team that could possibly do at least a one or two game winning streak, which isn't much, but I got New Mexico knocking off Harvard, which should be. I mean,
I've got that as well, and you know what? I would like New Mexico a lot more if everybody hadn't started talking them up as much as they have. I like New Mexico when they were the 3 seed that nobody was talking about for the first couple of days. But as these last few days have gone by, I've heard more and more people talking about New Mexico's making it to the Final Four. New Mexico's their sleeper. New Mexico this, New Mexico that. And I think Steve Alford's done a great job. They've got great guards, and their big men have turned around and gotten better this year. But unfortunately, I'm going to go with a little superstition that the more the public starts to talk about you as a sleeper, the less chance you have of being that sleeper. And so I've got them advancing, but not as far as some other experts do.
I think we're going to differ on this next one. I got Iowa State.
No, I'm going with Fred Hoiberg and his three-point shooters as well. The more I thought about it, I thought about how much zone.
You're going against your Notre Dame.
I'm going against
Irish?
Notre Dame. I think Iowa State shoots the ball way too well for Notre Dame's 2-3 zone, and I think that's going to be a problem. I don't think that Notre Dame can score with Iowa State.
The one advantage that Notre Dame has is that they don't have Manti Te'o and his fictitious girlfriend on the basketball team.
Hopefully they will put 5 guys out there and not assume that one of them is there and really isn't.
And I've got Ohio State knocking out Iona.
Yep, I'm taking down Ohio State.
All right. I got Ohio State knocking out Iowa State.
I've got the same thing. I think Ohio State's physicality and personnel will just be too much for Iowa State in this instance.
I got Arizona knocking out New Mexico.
I've got New Mexico beating Belmont in this round. And, again, I think New Mexico is a really good team. And I've got them advancing to this point, but this will be as far as New Mexico goes for me.
Yep. I've got Wisconsin defeating K-State.
Yeah, that was a tough one for me. Wisconsin all really depends on how much they can dictate the tempo. And I waffled back and forth on this. I gave Wisconsin the nod simply because of the conference that they play in.
I've got Gonzaga knocking off Pitt.
I'll be honest, I've got Gonzaga advancing too. It was real hard for me to decide between Gonzaga and Kansas of who the first number one seed to go down would be. I think it could easily be Gonzaga or Kansas to be the first number one to go down, but I went ahead and took Gonzaga over Pitt to advance.
I did as well. I've got Wisconsin picked to knock out Gonzaga as my first number one team that'll be eliminated from this year's tournament. And then I've got – go ahead.
Go ahead.
And then I've got Ohio State moving on to the regional finals.
I've got Ohio State knocking out New Mexico. And the only reason I was scared to pick against Gonzaga is because I think they're going to play with a little chip on their shoulder too, as people keep saying let these West Coast teams prove something. I think teams out of their conference are something like 5-28 in the NCAA tournament. And so everybody keeps saying, show me, show me, show me. And I think Gonzaga is going to play with a little chip and be ready to show people. So I've got Gonzaga and Ohio State in the regional final out of the West.
And I've got Ohio State advancing to the Final Four.
I think Gonzaga keeps the chip on their shoulder and they advance to the Final Four.
All right. There you have the left-hand side of the bracket, the Midwest and the West divisions. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, this is where I think it's going to get a little more tricky. We'll give you the South and the East bracket and finish out our Final Four.
The law offices of Raquel West, located at 595 Orleans in downtown Beaumont, have been serving clients for 16 years. Her specialty is family law, including divorce, adoption, child support, and custody, as well as criminal law on a state and federal level. Raquel is proud to support her Hawks. Call Raquel at 813-2700 for your free consultation. Golf Cars of Beaumont is a family-owned recreational business dedicated to provide fun for individuals and families at a competitive price. Golf Cars of Beaumont is an exclusive club car dealer. Whether it is for the beach, the lake, the lease, or just for fun, call Golf Cars of Beaumont at 899-4653. Salad and Pumping Equipment has been in operation since 1986 as a distributor of high-quality pumps, seals, parts, and services. If it flows, we can pump it. We have something to offer for just about any pumping application with over 200 years of combined pumping experience. We have the products, people, resources, and facilities to handle your pump needs. If you have a fluid problem, we have the answer. Call Salad and Pumping Equipment at 860-3442. Special thanks to Chris, Stan, and Heath with CDM Advisors at UBS Financial Services for providing the equipment to broadcast the Harden Jefferson games here on the Big Red Insider Radio Network. Roy West Home Loans of Ameripro Funding wants to be your home loan lender. Whether you are a first-time home buyer or you are buying your second home at the beach or lake, we can help you have an awesome home buying experience. For existing homeowners, be sure to look into saving thousands of dollars by refinancing your house. To begin the process of getting pre-qualified or to refinance your home, give Roy West Home Loans a call at 866-1901 or on the web at roywestloans.com. As a personal financial representative in Beaumont, I know many local families. My knowledge and understanding of the people in this community help me to provide customers with an outstanding level of service. I look forward to helping families like yours protect what is important: your family, your home, your car, and more. I can also help you prepare a strategy to achieve your financial goals. With 4 locations in Beaumont to conveniently serve you, call Brent Walters Insurance at 899-2056. For all your business and personal needs in computers, faxes, scanners, shredders, and printers, call Star Graphics at 892-0671. Star Graphics has been serving the greater Southeast Texas area for 29 years. They are a locally owned business who continually give back to the community. Brands include Konica Minolta, Toshiba, Sharp, and Samsung. Call Star Graphics at 892-0671.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Barn Sports Talk Show with Rob Lutzke along with Clay Davis tonight, and we're going through your men's bracket here for the NCAA tournaments. As we've got the left-hand side done, I've got Louisville and Ohio State advancing to the Final Four, and Clay has Michigan State and Gonzaga, so we're total opposite ends of the spectrum there on who the two teams are that are going to be in the Final Four there from the Midwest and the West. We're going to go to the bottom of the bracket here because I don't want to get into that top half just yet. But we've got the East here, and I've got Indiana advancing. They're going to take on the winner of LIU Brooklyn. Keep in mind a team that Lamar did defeat, one of their three wins this year. And James Madison, who has a former Lamar head coach as an assistant, Mike Dean. And I do have LIU Brooklyn, not that it matters, defeating James Madison in that game.
But you can have that one.
Okay. Not that it matters, but I do have I have Indiana beating whoever.
I got you. Okay, I thought you were trying to pick the winner of LIU Brooklyn and James Madison.
No, I was. I said I think LIU Brooklyn will win that game, but Indiana's going to defeat whoever they play.
You've paid a lot more attention to college basketball if you know anything about LIU Brooklyn than I have. I've got Indiana advancing as well.
In the 8-9 game, I've got Temple.
I took NC State. If you remember back at the beginning of the year, a lot of people picked NC State to win the ACC outright. They ran into some troubles in the middle of the year, but I think they're going to be good enough to at least beat Temple and move on to the second round.
This was my 12-5. You always have a 12-5 upset every year, but I went with UNLV. I thought long and hard about California here, but I did end up taking UNLV. I think you're going to see a lot more chalk this year than you've seen in the past. And I think you're going to see UNLV pull out the victory over Cal.
It's funny that you said that about seeing a lot more chalk this year than you have in the past. In a year where everything has been so wide open and everybody's talking about, anybody could win it, 15 different teams could win it, this will probably be the year that the bracket goes as close to chalk as possible, since it's supposed to be wide open and all these crazy things are supposed to happen. So you're probably right, and I agree with you on that. I've got UNLV beating California.
Did you just agree with me on the chalk?
I did. Let's not tell anybody.
Unfortunately, somebody's going to hear it. So I've got Syracuse beating Montana.
And I agree with you there, too. I've got Syracuse. I think Syracuse is probably a team that is not getting as much attention as they should. And I've got them making a nice little run in the tournament here, and I've got them starting off with a win over Montana.
I've got Butler defeating Bucknell.
This is going to be like an inter-squad scrimmage. Butler and Bucknell, they might as well just wear reversibles because it's going to be the exact same styles and philosophies, great coaches going against each other. I think Bucknell's presence inside is going to be the difference, so I've got Bucknell taking down Butler in the first round.
You've evidently done way more reading about than me. How do you know that Bucknell has a big man, their presence inside?
I listen to radio.
Oh, okay. Marquette. I got Marquette defeating Davidson.
Davidson, longest winning streak in the nation right now, and I think it continues. I've got double upsets here with Davidson beating Marquette and Bucknell taking down Butler for an upset matchup in the second round.
I got you. I got Illinois defeating Colorado.
I'm with you there.
I got the U.
And I've got Miami as well.
I got the U knocking out Illinois.
We're on the same page there.
I got Butler, which obviously you don't have.
I think Davidson's winning streak continues, and I'm taking Davidson over Bucknell.
I got Syracuse beating UNLV.
I've got Syracuse there, too.
Tark's not there anymore, so I got the Cuse.
Nope.
I got Indiana beating Temple.
I've got Indiana advancing as well.
I got Indiana into the regional final.
No, I'm taking Syracuse's 2-3 zone in their length to give Indiana fits. And Syracuse advances in my bracket.
I got Miami knocking off Butler.
I've got Miami taking down Davidson to set up a Syracuse-Miami regional final.
And I got Indiana in the Final Four.
I've got Miami advancing. I think Miami's the real deal.
I was close with that.
Loaded group of seniors, size, and probably with Larkin, the best point guard in the country.
All right, let's get this South region going.
So far, I've got Michigan State, Gonzaga, and Miami in the Final Four, and we got
none of the same.
That's good.
I got Louisville, Ohio State, and Indiana.
Okay.
I got Kansas defeating Western Kentucky.
I've got Kansas. I think Kansas is the most overrated number one seed. In fact, when the brackets came out, I was truly, truly shocked that they were a number one seed. I thought Miami deserved a number one seed big time over Kansas.
First ACC team, I think, in 15 years.
Ever.
That has,
ever.
That has won the regular season
and the
won
tournament.
The conference tournament and was not a number one seed in,
yep.
the, in the tournament.
Absolutely.
I do have, speaking of ACC, I do have UNC defeating Villanova.
I've got UNC. I'm going to tell you what, Roy Williams has started playing small ball, and they've kind of resurrected their team a little bit playing small ball, and that can give team fits, especially because they don't have a bunch of game film and a bunch of time to prepare for them because they've only been doing it for about 10 or 12 games now.
I just want to pass on that it's Robert Morris 10 and Kentucky nothing with 15 minutes to go. Oh, make it 10-2 with 15 minutes to go. Kentucky. If they lose this game at Robert Morris, you might see some carnage. But I got VCU knocking off Akron.
Yeah, I like VCU. You know, there's a lot of people talking up Akron as a 12-5 upset, but I like VCU with their experience, and I love the way they play, so I'm sticking with VCU.
I got Michigan knocking off South Dakota State.
Yep, I'm taking Michigan there.
I've got UCLA beating Minnesota. I had Minnesota down, and I changed. I know you're a big Tubby Smith guy, but I had Minnesota down, and I ended up changing it to UCLA.
Love Tubby Smith. UCLA is without their best player, and a lot of people don't remember that Minnesota started the year 15-1 before they got to the conference play in the toughest conference in America, and righted the ship a little bit after some losses. I like Minnesota to make a little run.
Not so fast, my friend. I got the Gators. You know I'm a Gator fan, so you know
Let's
I got them.
Go ahead and put the rose-colored glasses on.
I got the Gators. You were talking earlier that you can't live and die by the three, but Florida is one of those teams that lives and dies by it. It cost them against Ole Miss this past Sunday, but I've got Florida defeating the Southland Conference tournament champion Northwestern State.
Now, I've got Florida advanced, too, and I'll be honest. There was a point in time this year where I kind of felt like it was a Florida kind of year, kind of like the first national championship they won, where I think they were a seven seed maybe, and they kind of slipped into the Final Four unnoticed, and I felt that way. But I've watched them a little bit, and just like you said, live and die by the three, and the three will kill you before it helps you move on.
The problem they've got is if it comes down to a – they can't win a close game. If it comes down to a one-possession game and they've got the ball, the problem is they don't have a go-to guy.
And I'm telling you this right now, the NCAA tournament has a propensity to be one-possession games.
True. I've got Oklahoma knocking out the Aztecs.
I just can't see Oklahoma. San Diego State's had some recent success in the NCAA tournament. I'm just not buying Oklahoma. I'm not really buying the Big 12 in general. So I'm taking San Diego State.
I got a lot of people's favorite here. I got Georgetown winning over, hell, I don't even know who FGCU is. Oh, that's Florida Gulf Coast.
I thought maybe it was one of those new charter schools that have popped up here in Texas recently. I thought maybe they were too good for Texas high school basketball, so they've moved into the NCAAs.
Well, I got Georgetown advancing.
Yeah, I'm taking Georgetown there as well.
And I've got Georgetown knocking off Oklahoma.
I've got them advancing over San Diego State.
I got Florida knocking off UCLA.
I think Billy's boys, their run ends right here. I like Tubby and his experience, and I like Minnesota playing in the toughest conference in the nation. I like Minnesota advancing to play Georgetown.
Well, the problem is I'm going to be in Austin to watch this game on Sunday, and I can't imagine that they're going to lose with me there.
Well, we'll see, I guess.
I've got Michigan beating Virginia Commonwealth.
Yeah, I think Michigan's guards can match Virginia Commonwealth's pressure and overcome it, and I've got Michigan advancing there.
I've got Kansas in the old Roy Williams goes back to Kansas game here, but I've got I do have Kansas defeating North Carolina.
I've got North Carolina. That's my first number one team that's going to go down in the second round. I've got North Carolina taking down Kansas. Kansas guards are weak. Roy's playing five guards on the floor, and the small ball is going to hurt Kansas big men.
I got Kansas beating Michigan.
I've got Michigan beating North Carolina. I think Michigan's guards are better than Carolina's guards, and I think Carolina's small ball is not going to affect Michigan at all because Bayline likes to spread the floor, bring everybody up above the free throw line, and nobody's going to beat him at his own game.
Did you tell me the other day that he's never been a head coach?
No, John Bayline has always been a head coach and never been an assistant.
Never been an assistant, that's what it was.
Never all been right. an assistant.
So I've got Kansas, as we said, defeating Michigan. You don't. I got my Gators knocking off Georgetown here. A little bit of heart pick, but
I'm not a huge Georgetown fan, but I got to believe that Georgetown is probably just more talented than Minnesota. So I'm taking Georgetown over Minnesota, and I'm taking Michigan over North Carolina to set up a Michigan-Georgetown regional final.
And I've got Kansas, Florida, and got to go with my heart. You know, I got my Gators in the Final Four.
I've got Michigan. I think Trey Burke and company are going to be too much for Georgetown. And I love Beeline as 1-3-1 zone. I think Michigan advances to the Final Four.
So you got who in the Final Four?
I've got Michigan State, Gonzaga, Miami, and Michigan.
Oh, it's safe to say that I've got four different teams. I got Louisville, Ohio State, Florida, and Indiana. And in my left side of the bracket, I've got Louisville and Ohio State, and I got Louisville advancing to the national championship game.
In my left side, I've got Michigan State, their physicality, their rebounding, and their experience taking down Gonzaga to advance to the national championship game.
I've got Florida and Indiana in the right-hand side. And, of course, you know, I got Florida beating Indiana.
Well, sometimes those rose-colored glasses work out. Sometimes they don't.
Hey, Billy D's got three national championships. Can't argue with that.
I've got Michigan and Miami, and I think Miami's got the guards to play with Michigan's, and Miami's got the superior presence on the inside. So I've got a Michigan State-Miami national championship game.
Yeah. I got Florida taking it all, cutting down the nets.
How can
you be surprised with that?
Really, really, really surprised.
No, you shouldn't
Florida
be,
Florida could be in the play-in game, and my partner
if they were
here
in the play-in game,
I'd have them
go six, seven, I mean, you know, five or six games deep to get it at least to the Final Four.
I've got Michigan State taking down Miami. I think Michigan State's the one team that can just physically manhandle Miami and out-physical them. And I think it's a good matchup for Michigan State. So I've got Tom Izzo taking down his first national championship since 2000.
One question I've got, and I saw this on ESPN today, and I thought it would be a good question to ask. And I kind of like what the answer that they gave. What would be the best national championship game?
Whew. The best?
The best national championship game.
Man.
And I'll let you think about it. I'll tell you. They said Louisville, Georgetown would be the best national championship game for the reason that this is the last year of the Big East, and it would be with the Big East falling apart after this year. No such thing as the Big East anymore after this year. They're going to still have the Big East. It's going to be called something different, but with basically the Catholic schools and that being it in it. But they talked about Louisville, Georgetown, and letting the Big East, as it is now, go out as the national champion.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. I don't know that makes it the best game. To me, the best game is what I want to sit there and watch and what's going to entertain me for 2 hours or whatever the length of time is. And as I sit here and look, I know this. I've watched Miami many a time this year. And they're dang good.
Yep.
And I've watched Louisville because I love, you know, Patino is one of the coaches that I've modeled myself after as a coach. So if I think about Miami and Louisville, two fairly contrasting styles, two teams that would be trying to impose their will on each other, one trying to make the other play their way, that would be entertaining to me watching that chess match and to see what happens. And so I would say Louisville-Miami would probably be the most entertaining, best game to watch.
You know, I can see that, and I think it would be a good situation where you'd have, like you said, two different types of teams playing there. I think it's going to be hard. Somebody's going to have to play extremely well, or Louisville's not going to have to play very good, in my opinion, for them not to win at all, even though I've got them losing in the national championship game, but that's more heart than anything.
Yeah, Louisville, their matchup zone makes life miserable and difficult for teams. It's difficult to run your man sets against. You can't just line up in a zone offense against it. like I said, they will pressure you for 94 feet and make it difficult for you to get the ball up the floor. You'll use most of the shot clock just to get the ball up the floor. And then they're difficult to score on in the half court. And that's before you even get to the other side of the ball with Peyton Siva leading their attack on offense. And I think he's on a mission. I think he's got something to prove before he goes out as a senior. They're always going to be the most well-conditioned team. And they've got great length. And I think they are. I've always thought they were the best team in the country. And we'll find out.
Who's your best player in the country?
I don't, you know, this. There's lots of years where that would be a real easy answer, or at least narrowed down to two or three. This year, I absolutely don't know that you can nail it down to one. You might be able to say there's a best at a position, but as far as given one player, you know, I don't know. You could make a case for Plumlee at Duke. You could make a case for Larkin at Miami. You could make a case for Trey Burke at Michigan. You could make a case for Oladapo at Indiana, any of those guys. And I don't know that there is a clear-cut answer on that.
This guy right here is the guy that they were talking about on ESPN today, the big man from Gonzaga,
yeah.
Kelly
mm-hmm.
Olynyk. He's been easily the MVP of that team this year, and they're talking about him being the best player in the country this year and winning the best player in the country this year. But, I think he hasn't, like you said, him being on a little bit smaller conference and out there on the West Coast, a lot of people haven't seen him play. But he's, you know, along with Pangos as their guard, if it wouldn't have been for Nerlens Noel, who would have easily been the player of the year had he not gotten hurt, I think you might see Olynyk win it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, a lot of people don't get to see Gonzaga play just because they're a West Coast team and the starts of their games are always very late. I'm not buying the West Coast team. They're going to have to win and win consistently in the tournament before I'm willing to, you know, say that those guys have the best players in the country.
I couldn't agree more. Appreciate your insight there. I'm sure some people will go out and bet the house on our picks. Do want to remind everybody that Lamar Women's Basketball plays tomorrow night against Presbyterian in the Women's Basketball Invitational as they play at Lamar State College, Port Arthur, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Get out there and support your Lady Cardinals. The women's softball, I do not have an update on them, but they are playing currently at Texas Southern, and then they will be home to take on Sam Houston State this weekend in a conference games on Saturday at 4 and 6 o'clock, and then Sunday at 3 o'clock will be the rubber match. Baseball is playing currently out at Vincent Beck against Houston Baptist tonight and tomorrow night, and then they have McNeese State home this weekend for a conference three-game series, and then 1 week from tonight, they will be at Vincent Beck, and they'll take on the University of Houston Cougars. And that's kind of what the Lamar Cardinals have coming up for the next week. Do want to thank Clay Davis for coming on tonight and filling in for Mitch Hart. Appreciate you coming out.
I enjoyed it. After you guys listen to this, you know, don't let Mitch know how much better I was than him. And I know Mitch wants to come back and do this, so let's allow him to come back.
But the one thing you're going to get with Mitch that you didn't get tonight is he's much more argumentative.
I'm just honest. If it works out where it's an argument, that's fine. If it doesn't, then it is what it is.
He would have thrown some backwoods statistics at you that you had never heard of to try to solidify his argument, but. Now, we do appreciate you coming on, and we will be back on 1 week from tonight here live, or actually 1 week from yesterday. We'll be back on next Monday night live here at Hooters, and we will in the next couple of weeks be doing a live broadcast from Lamar University as the spring football practices have begun, and we will be out there one night when they have a scrimmage, and we'll do a live broadcast from there. But once again, thanks tonight for Clay Davis for coming out, and we are here at Hooters every week. So come out and join us. Everybody have a great night.